Well, let me hear you say mountain, mountain, mountain.
Fire, what are you saying?
Yes, Fire Kid.
We are here again, Ballhead, Andy Drake. Give thanks for everyone tuning in from those times to now. Fire, I think this reasoning here will be on tonight. It's very informative. Please let the people know the topic.
So the topic today is curing patients a sustainable business models within the health industry?
And I want to be clear before we get into this. I am not badging or I'm not talking bad about everyone in the medical industry, right? A lot of times people are in this industry. They do have a clean heart. Sometimes they get burnt out. This is specifically directly to all the pirates and vampires in the industry that deal with full-blown corruption and have a total disregard to human life and the duty that they have to help heal people.
I think the health industry is almost similar to the police force. If you really put it on our meds, it kind of, even though you might have good intentions, but the recommendations we'd have to give for the most part, it still have to follow the whole Britain in the same vein as the system. So recently we read a Goldman Sachs article talking about the same thing, is curing patients a sustainable business model. One, if you read a particular quote out of the Goldman Sachs article, it says, in the case of infectious diseases such as hepatitis C, curing existing patients also decreases the number of carriers able to transmit the virus to new patients. Thus, the incident pool also declines. Where an incident pool remains stable, example in cancer, the potential for a cure poses less risk to the sustainability of a franchise. So we have to take that into context.
All right. For those who struggle with following the reading, right, they're basically saying this. If they heal people, right, the pool that will use the product declines. And if people don't have the disease, they won't spread the disease, which also leads to the decline of their profits, right?
Yep.
So they're saying that they, in order for to have a profitable business model in their industry, they need people to carry a disease, mm-hmm. to spread the disease, to keep the pool at a stable level where it's profitable. If that pool were to decline, it would decline profits.
Isn't that crazy?
AKA healing the people is not profitable. I just thought it was wild that they put it out. I thought that was something in there, like a private meeting or something.
And it's
like
Goldman Sachs article.
Yeah, and it's just out in the article, like whatever. This is what we're doing. It's pretty wild.
So when you think about it, still in a fire, like the most important part of me capture outside of that is the whole concept of a franchise.
Yeah.
And I hope people really are take.
We're not talking about McDonald's.
I would not talk about McDonald's because these biotech companies, majority of them are franchises. Yeah. They're major corporations. And we have to think about how does a major corporation actually function? What is the main point of a major corporation? That's to make profit. So if a man in the industry of getting pharmaceutical or creating pharmaceutical drugs and his aim is to make profit, does he really care about your health? Hence, is it that the health industry is mainly for profit, or is it that the health industry actually cares about us? I would say
it's a tricky situation, and it's just like the prison industry. I just want to throw this in there in the sense that these private prisons need people in beds to make money.
Mm-hmm.
If everyone's like doing good and not in prison, or I can't even say doing good, but they're not incarcerated, then they don't make money. So therefore, we have to tweak legislation a little bit to make sure that, you know, some crimes put you in here for a little longer. Back to this health thing. It's not profitable. Listen, I'm not sure if you've been to the doctor lately. The longest I've been sat and spoken to a doctor in the last 10 years was a chiropractor, mm-hmm. where I actually spoke to this man, and this man actually like asked me about my life.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to my primary care physician, maybe a 5-minute conversation. I had to go to patient first the other day, like a 5-minute conversation. Like they don't have, the way it's set up, this in and out thing, and just giving you whatever pill is not set up for actually figuring out what's needed to heal or fix what's going on. It's more in, I guess, what's this thing called? Like pain relief or what's the other term?
Band-aid effect.
Yeah, band-aid effect, yeah. You know? Because if they really were to lead you down the avenue of healing, you want to go back, right? and so many industries are dependent on the medical field, the healthcare industry, because even look at commercial real estate. Mm-hmm. How many? I know buildings have closed, but how many of these buildings would still be able to be open if people were healthy? The equipment, which is very expensive, that's the next hustle, is medical equipment. And that's a whole industry you have there. Mm-hmm. Prescription drugs, obviously, we know the pharmaceutical company, the famous salesperson for the pharmaceutical companies.
You know, two key things more to talk about with regarding this health industry. One, a particular merger where I think most people overlook, the merger between Monsanto and Bayer. Now we know Monsanto is the company where them create all of these genetically modified seeds, right? And we know the whole health benefit of all of these seeds. But it's very strange and peculiar that them merge with a company like Bayer. Anybody know Bayer? Bayer is a company that creates all of these aspirin for all of these headache where the people them have and them take it for the short-term relief but get headache tomorrow and take it again. So, so but what we really want to dive into is them in a particular article, them project a couple sales where them think they might hit. Now, when we think about a man saying, all right, him sell meat or him sell some form of product where people eat, I can't think about the sales because yeah, say, you know, so probably them seasoning how come people are going to consume that more or whatever. But now I start thinking about how can a company where sell pharmaceutical products and a company where deal with genetically modified seeds actually project them revenues that they're going to get. Now it starts come to my head now. Again, this is not proven, but I'm going to tell you what I think. So now I think the way these people are going to do it now, they're going to make sure actually get the genetically modified seeds and make you eat the food them off of that. And then now, when you do that now, your head are going to start hurting. And when your head start hurting, now they're going to say, all right, them amount of people in them region, and them head start hurting. And then, like once your head start hurting, we're going to come and buy more aspirin. And that's how they're going to project them sales. But something else will catch my brain from an inside perspective when I know what takes place. The very interesting part about it is that analytics and data science actually spike 15%, don't quote me on the number, but somewhere in the teens, one of the highest spike for data science and analytics is within the biotech field and within the health field, one of the highest spikes ever. So now it's occurred to me now, say, once them project all of these sales now and them have the methodology for actually make you get towards getting these pharmaceutical drugs, now they're going to actually analyze your patterns and analyze the behaviors and see how to increase them sales again. So it's all about the money. And at that, so the thing really lie, and we always move like so, we don't overstand that, and we get so caught in it thinking just through the concept of health is attached to the industry. That's all about health and not about profit.
They just double dipping. I don't know what else to say. It's just like the tobacco industry getting into medical marijuana, right? Mm-hmm. They see the emergence because they're aware of, obviously, they're aware of the negative impacts their products will have on people. Mm-hmm. So why not invest in a company or take over a company that's going to cater to those issues? You know, it's just basic capitalism, you know, and mm-hmm. it's cold. But with the healthcare industry, right, which is so wild, is that obviously we're an unhealthy society, like not physically, mentally, spiritually. We're just an unhealthy society on mm-hmm. every aspect. But we have to acknowledge, as sad as this sounds, the society financially is dependent on us being healthy. Because they created these industries that are detrimental to us, but we're dependent on it. You mm-hmm. have the prison industrial complex industry, and the healthcare industry, even the military industry. They provide mm-hmm. so much jobs for American citizens. What would happen if they didn't exist? So it's a weird situation just dealing with reality in the sense that they built up these industries and we're so dependent on them. Yes, we can complain, but what if, all right, say in the next 10 years we switched up the model where, you know, we're doing preventive care, we're actually dealing with healing, we're not dealing with the medications too much. Where are these people going to work? Because people do work and benefit from these industries, you know?
And you see, that's now where we start thinking about the whole progress of society and we start thinking about sacrifice. So you see, in order for greater humanity strive, sacrifices have to be made. And we have a, and the system as we know it, we can't comfortable. Well, I think so many people get so comfortable with the concept of I'm this, especially this quote. And it's a quote where you have to hate it and love it. And this quote of I'm just doing my job. Because somebody will know them and sell a poison, you know. Yeah. But them selling the poison nonetheless and in the basis of I'm just doing my job. And then the concept of, oh, but if I don't do this, then how am I going to provide for my family? But we're not thinking about the broader disaster where it cause, because all of these pharmaceutical drugs them where take place now, and where I get distributed throughout the channels them, and one, every old person right now, you know, up on all of these pressure pill and all of these different things, and them now go towards the bush them and them thing there.
Yeah.
So we start thinking about the whole concept of that now. If me now, myself, from an ethical standpoint, say me I go sell a old lady, give a old lady a pressure pill and anything, the women know, so she could have go take some guinea in weed or she could have go drink some of that same way, you know. Yeah. Sometimes we have a thing, say, the blame, although we're maintaining the status quo, as we know it, out of fear of losing out, our family losing out, and our family not having food to eat. When we think about the broader picture, are really we are the enforcers of the status quo. So when we think about it from a general standpoint, we have a self-blame.
No, big time. I think it's definitely a self-blame to a certain level, because what happens is this. At least the blame for those who know about it and aren't willing to do the sacrifice to make the change. Now, I believe there's a large number of people who can't process what's going on. They generally don't understand what's going on, and maybe it's a little too complex for them. I'm not sure if the number of those who know what's going on actually do something, would it change? That's the next part of it. Like the people who actually know what's going on, if they were to do something, would it change? I'm not sure. But I believe, and this is just my belief, people may disagree. I think as a human being, you have a certain level of responsibility for understanding your environment and understanding how to thrive in your environment. You don't have to be an expert on these things, but you should be knowledgeable about the different things that are impacting you, especially the big industries. You know, healthcare is definitely one of the big industries. And I'm not trying to paint every healthcare person as a villain or some type of evil doctor thing, right? But a lot of times I notice it's just like teaching. A person goes into the environment with a clean heart and actually want to do good.
Mm-hmm.
But the way the environment is structured for your survival, if you're not strong, it pushes you to do stuff that's not necessarily beneficial to the person you're serving. So, for instance, in education, I saw that, and I don't have a broad experience. I was at one school, so just take it how you want to take it. But the thing was, to get a raise, the students had to do good, right? So I saw teachers fudging numbers, so students, it looked like the students were doing good to the detriment of the student, because that student would graduate, can't read.
Mm-hmm.
You pre-it.
Mm-hmm.
As a healthcare person now, you're limited to the time. I've had that too now, right? Where a person kind of just rush you. I'm trying to explain something. They're literally rushing me because they have to meet a quota for that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this is real. I've heard it. You know, I know they push particular products on particular people, but all that goes into their income. So they're basically telling you, if you want to not even thrive, but be in this industry, you have to do these things. So a person has to ask themselves now, because they didn't know that prior when they went there. They probably in medical school had a thing on the hook. They got a big house and save the world and heal people. And when they go into it, now they peep the hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Hustle with the C-section. You get what I'm saying? Like the fact that you get paid more for a C-section than a natural birth, what are you pushing people to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to do that naturally.
All right. You don't have to pressure them, but the fact that it's there and this get money mind frame and this environment that they're in. So it's just like they create that industry. They create the environment that they can predict the behavior of the people in that environment. And you have to ask yourself now, am I going to do this or am I going to leave? And I think what's cold is that it takes so many years to even get in that environment, and you're so invested in that environment, not just financially, but socially. Because the ego goes into the play with a lot of the ego goes into a lot of these decisions, because now you're the doctor of the family, or they see you as this. And you put in all these years now. So a man don't really, or a woman, she don't want to look at it and say, you know what, this thing kind of wild, I'm going to leave. They just say, it is what it is at this point, you know, and just let it work, you know?
Yeah, your word become the law now. And you know, say, they talk, and it really, the main thing that come to my brain is really this whole COVID-19 pandemic business.
Yeah.
Is where we really see how much the healthcare industry milk the whole profit business, because I remember say from the jump, you know, them already make you aware, say, this vaccine is not something that will stop the transmission of it. Yeah. And it now there's literally, them explain from the jump, there's literally no benefit of this vaccine. But yet still, it's something where they make mandatory. So yeah, you realize how much force the healthcare industry have such a power that they have a force behind it. Because my mind, nobody don't want to have a health crisis, you know. It's one thing nobody don't want to have is a health crisis, knowing historically what health crisis have done to the people. So that's one thing they have behind them. They have the force, they have the willpower to, and plus they have the financial bucket if already for push the narrative of every single thing. And then when the whole concept come out that, okay, you know, so this still can't work, but here we are going now. This new one is supposed to come now and help you. Let's do a booster.
Yeah.
And all of these things until it start go further and further until you have a next booster too. And you realize how much profit make out of it. And then the wildest part about all of this is that when all of these profit made, and then the story come to bump and people really realize there is no health benefits towards having this vaccine. Yeah. And it was all for profit. And companies like Pfizer blatantly noticed there was never, ever, ever a public apology to the people. Not that apology would do anything at all, but just to show you, there was never an acknowledgement of the fact that this was a profitable thing. And it was just to keep people moving and limit the people them in the scope of all in the name of making profit. And that's the craziest thing in affair.
And Farai, there's one more thing I want to touch on with this COVID thing. I believe in the time, me being on Earth. I ain't talking about nothing I read in no history book. I'm talking about my time on Earth. I think this was the greatest media campaign I ever saw.
Greatest one. Yes, man.
We don't acknowledge that. Like the execution, the mobilization on state level, county level, city level, national
federal level.
You know, it's just like they definitely can study that in marketing classes in the future, what they did and how they were able to utilize fear to push people to do something that many were uncomfortable doing. And I guess some believe they were comfortable doing. I just want to throw out this number here I wrote down so people could get an understanding of how much money is spent in this industry, right? So they said, I read somewhere saying $78.5 billion was spent on prescription opioid misuse of drugs, right? That's a big part of our economy because a lot of industries are popping up now to assist with opioid addiction. You know, you got the Narcan and all those things. Like, these are things that are made, and they're probably given out free, but the government pays for it and it's a government contract. But people don't understand why we need drug addiction, why we need alcoholism, why we need obesity. I think it's about, how much you say here? Over 600,000 people died of heart disease. Now, one can argue it was just stress, right? But we have to factor in people's dietary practices and things being clogged up. But even so, it's like we need an unhealthy, stressful environment with food that will destroy your body. Because prior to you dying, we're going to get you on something that we're going to profit from. Whether staying at a facility or using some form of medication. So I want people to understand it's clear. It's like, oh, well, they're dying. How do you profit from a dead person? Well, there are other ways to profit from a dead person. But prior to your death, most likely.
You have to pay a tax on dead bodies. Never know that.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, prior to your death, you're going to be on some form of medication. It's pretty wild. And also, too, we have to acknowledge that if you read articles, I always like bringing in the teaching and the doctors, because one, I was in that field so I can speak on it, but doctors are burnt out. You know what I'm saying? Like, doctors are burnt out. So if you have a burnt out person that's providing this type of care, it's not going to be a cure on the heights. And it's a decline in doctors, because any facility you call right now, you're not going to get through, yeah.
You know, there I mentioned that, you know, when I always compare the doctor them to. When you say doctors burnt out, it reminds me of one thing, like a college. When you're in a college and you have a big lecture hall,
yeah,
you can't guarantee that every student can actually get the lesson plan.
Yeah.
But it does a talk out in a big lecture hall. That's how I compare most of the doctors them. When you mention the burnt out of doctors, I think there's a very, very, very similar scenario towards this whole thing. As in the patients, them would have been the student, them in the big lecture hall. Yeah. And guarantee some might get through the cracks, but definitely some are going to get hooked upon something of a sort.
And I just think this health thing, man, like analyzing it, I think there's so much needed for a person to get better that the healthcare system just can't provide. And they won't provide anyway, but on a realistic approach, it's like, one, you have to have a decent amount of conversation for you to bring out what's going on with you and the things that are going on in your life that are leading to this particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a certain amount of tests, which don't usually catch stuff anyway, including your blood work, right? Then also you would need some form of assistance, because what happens with a lot of people is the lifestyle changes they have to make, they're not equipped to make it. It's kind of unrealistic to even tell that person that. Because if you have a person who has a diet that's heavy in sugar, a lot of alcohol, a lot of fats, a lot of salt, they're not changing that overnight. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, because a lot of people have been pre-warned and told, like, if you continue to eat like this, you're not going to be around much longer. And they continue to eat like it. Even they may want to stop, but it's the addictive nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's going back to the food now. They strategically make the food addictive. They know already. Mm-hmm. It's not a joke. It's not a conspiracy theory. They want to heighten the addiction. Why? For profitability. Coca-Cola and these companies, they want to make sure that this item is constantly in your house. Once it's depleted, you bring another one. That is part of their business model. They don't want you to buy it once every 2 weeks. No, it's constantly in your house.
So we really want to ask a question. Like, may I ask this question to the general public, though? Who create most of the food we eat? Is it a chef or is it a chemist? Is it a biochemist that create the food that you eat, or is it a chef? Because all me knowing that the food that me eating is a chef created, but we talk about Coca-Cola and all of these different sugary products and things. Is it a chemist that actually create your food, or is it a chef that create your food? The answer to that alone supposed to have you thinking and make you understand how the health industry work and why you're getting caught up within the health industry just to make them make more profit. Because fire, I can't see why would I eat a food with a chemist, great.
Break that. I don't think people, because sometimes we talk about people think we're in like conspiracy land or something. Just break down. Give an example for the people in regards to what was made by a chemist. Simple thing is like Lunchables, right?
All
right. This was not made by a chef. Right. And everybody knows what a chemist is, right? A man that deals with science and chemistry, not food. And they use it. They use the why are they using the chemist? One, they want to find these perfect levels of taste and crunch and texture in your mouth.
Natural flavor and these things, you know?
So it's just a perfect experience because they want you to get... Mm-hmm. These people aren't playing around. They want this. This is not like the clothes industry, all right? They want return customers. They want you to have this product in your house all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not playing around with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they get that perfect spot, and they'll keep tweaking it until they get that perfect spot. It'll be released even to the boxing with the colors. We did a great interview with the great journalist Michael Moss, author of the book, was it Fat Sugar Salt or Sugar Fat Salt? I'll put that link in the description. He does a great job breaking it down in regards to like the science and the psychologist, because you have the chemist and you have the psychiatrist that work together to create these foods. Not chef, not farmer.
Mm-hmm.
Chemists and psychiatrists to create food, you know?
Yeah, your whole pattern, your whole existence, your whole mood, every single thing that's already experimented on just in order so you can eat. So let's think about all of that. So the next time somebody go for eat a food, I really want to think about this. We talk about the healthcare industry and how them is just based on profits. We really want somebody to think about that. When you see a chef in a restaurant cooking a food, that's a total different thing from all of these packaged food where we eat most of the time, and I call it packaged chemicals where we eat most of the time, and I call it food. So we have to be very careful of that. But we say a lot of us say, like, we're curing patients is definitely not a sustainable business model. So the healthcare industry, I've always be focused on ensuring that they have treatments, little hinges of treatments here and there, so they can keep you coming back and hook like addicts. Because remember, you know, if we think about which part, we go one time where we need to pick up a prescription, we go to the drugstore. So we are drug addicts, where they want to, it's just that certain drugs are legal and they're legal based on their standards that they set. So we are drug addicts, regardless of how you think about it. If something happened to me right now, I have to get some antibiotics, so we go into the drugstore, yeah. And these are the official druggists. These guys are the drug lords, and these drug lords are making billions of dollars off all of the name of health.
And the people listening, I'm not discouraging you from going to the doctor. If you find a good doctor, I ask that you latch on, but more do what you can within reason to make sure you have you provide your body with the highest quality products, and also you need to analyze what you're doing, both in the eating and mental and exercise and everything, to just make yourself the healthiest you can be, you know. And if you have a doctor that's trash, try another one and keep looking until you find someone at least that doesn't put you directly on pills and encourage you to have a lifestyle change, because you'll be shocked. A lot of things you have, some things can't change your lifestyle. So let's be clear, right? Because we have this idea like you're going to eat fruit and change. No. But you have a lot of things that can change from your lifestyle. And those are the things you should focus on. If you get some type of disease or something that's just, it is what it is, you need them for that. But other things you can handle on your own just by sleeping, eating differently, minimizing your stress, and being more active.